Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. In this episode, we're celebrating World Vegan Day 2024, which happens every November 1st. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring vegan music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a paradigm of freedom, peace, health, wellness, and sustainability. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. Vegan Nation has been on air since 2015. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. Within this celebration of World Vegan Day, I'll be sharing vegan music. And also, we'll be joined for an interview with Shelley Harrison and also some other very exciting news. We are very fortunate to be joined by Shelley Harrison. He is the convener of the Humane Party and a law teacher. Welcome, Shelley. Thank you so much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you, Marlene. I am so glad to get to talk to you, and I'm really just so honored to be on your show because you've done such a great job in building this show. All the leaders that you've interviewed in the vegan movement, you're kind of the premier interviewer in the vegan space. It's just wonderful. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much for all your work in the Humane Party since 2009. So can you please tell us more about that?
Well, so the Humane Party launched in 2009 as the U.S.'s first vegan abolitionist animal rights political party. We ran our first presidential candidate in 2016, the amazing Clifton Roberts, and first registered voters in California in 2011, and are just continuing to build the party. I do not have any official role in the party at this point. I generally just serve as an advisor, but the party is moving forward and building toward that day when we can free all the animals in the United States and eventually on the planet.
Shelley, it seems like it's a quite a task, mountain after mountain in abolitionism. What can public policy do to hopefully accelerate it? Because it seems to me that it is abolitionism is being ignored and squashed by all institutions and all factors, whether it's academic or religious or political, and just even in the community. So it's not just pushback from corporations, but it's even the people themselves due to cultural habits and indoctrination. So how can public policy accelerate abolitionism?
That is a great question, and I feel like I have so many things coming to mind. I hope that I can be articulate in expressing them. But one thing that comes to mind would be the idea of criticality. Criticality is a condition in which nothing happens, nothing appears to happen, nothing appears to happen, and then suddenly, boom, everything happens. So most people are introduced to the idea colloquially of criticality when we use the idiomatic expression of the straw that broke the camel's back. I don't want to use that, analogy, the animal exploitation piece of that, but that's how people are usually introduced to the idea of criticality. And so criticality is when a tiny little thing happens and it gets, added to a pile, and then another little tiny thing gets added to the pile, and then another thing gets added to the pile, and nothing happens. But then finally, one more thing gets added to the pile, and that last additional thing creates an avalanche. And so that idea of criticality is exactly what's going to happen with respect to abolition. So it will appear that nothing is happening. Just one little grain of sand, another little grain of sand, but no impact. Another little grain of sand, no impact, until suddenly, bang, avalanche. That's what will happen. Public policy can bring that about through small victories that set up the conditions for that critical avalanche to occur. And so, for instance, each time we chip away at the financial and economic base of slavery, each time the slaveholding population is weakened in some way, their costs are raised, their profile is diminished, that weakens their position, and it strengthens the anti-slavery position. So over time, as things like vegan and plant-based foods continue to gain more and more traction in the marketplace and takes away market share from dead body food and from food that is produced from raping animals and taking their, kidnapping their children and so on. That went, as that food, so-called food, the kind of rotting corpses, as those things get taken away from the aisles of the supermarket and replaced with plant-based food, then those resources get weakened. And over time, those tiny little grains of sand add up until, bang, you have that criticality moment and there is an avalanche. That kind of thing really is what happened in the U.S.'s movement with respect to human slavery. So, you know, there were a number of efforts to end human slavery. There were small things that were happening. Then Harriet Beecher Stowe's novel came out. It caused a stir, and the conditions for criticality start to build. And then, of course, John Brown's raid on Harper's Ferry. That was pretty much the moment that probably can be pointed to as having precipitated out that avalanche. And then pretty soon you have the U.S. Civil War, the Republicans rise and crush the Democrats on the battlefield, and end the slavery, you know, by force. And so that kind of thing, I hope the force piece doesn't have to happen this time around, but we will have that same kind of critical event happen, probably in a relatively short order, that will wipe away slavery, and we will be living in a completely new universe of economically, politically, and so on, just like the world would have felt after the end of human slavery.
Thank you, Shelley.
HP has had a similar kind of success on a number of other fronts. Here are a few quick examples. A good example would be what became known as the Genocide Recognition, Reparations, and Reconciliation Act. This undertaking seeks to remove slaveholder names and likenesses from statues, currency, and other symbolic content in the U.S. When we first undertook this in 2010, most people we talked to didn't even know why we would take this on. So that's a powerful vindication of policy leadership on an issue that at one time was just regarded as obscure and why are you doing this, that eventually became widely embraced. Same thing happened with the Humane Party's call for a national holiday. You and I have actually talked about this a long time ago, way back in, I think, 2016. We talked about the Humane Party's call for a national holiday, both to commemorate the end of human slavery and promote the end of all slavery. And we call that the abolition. We call that Abolition Day, celebrated on December 6th, which is the anniversary of the 13th Amendment being ratified. At the time we launched that, it seemed like an obscure idea that would only interest history major types, you know, history buffs. But again, you fast forward a few years, and the Juneteenth holiday was enacted at the federal level. I think it had a unanimous vote in the Senate. Unfortunately, Juneteenth doesn't pick up the kind of other half of Abolition Day. It does celebrate the end of human slavery, but it doesn't pick up the end of all slavery, and so it's a missed opportunity in that way. Nonetheless, it is a good example of policy leadership because it's going from an obscure position that eventually becomes nationally embraced.
We're listening to Shelley Harrison, the convener of the Humane Party, the first and currently only vegan abolitionist party in the USA. You tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. Shelley just mentioned our previous interview back in 2016 when we were discussing Abolition Day and the Abolition Amendment. And so for our listeners who might not have caught that back in 2016, here's a little snippet of it. Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. And we are very fortunate to be joined by Shel Harrison, the primary author and editor of the Abolition Amendment, which was published on December 6th, 2016. December 6th is Abolition Day. Thank you very much, Shel, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you, Marlene. So glad to be on your call today and looking forward to talking about the Abolition Amendment.
Yes, this is very exciting. Thank you to you and all your volunteers who helped draft the Abolition Amendment. So can you give us an overview of the Abolition Amendment and what that means?
Well, certainly. So the Abolition Amendment is a proposed amendment to the U.S. Constitution. and it is an amendment that is designed to abolish the property status of other animals, so end the slavery of other animals. It's modeled on the 13th Amendment language, at least in part, the first section is. And upon its ratification, the Abolition Amendment will immediately abolish, in abolishing the property status of animals, it will put an immediate end to things like the meat industry, dairy industry, egg, poultry, fish, leather, vivisection, and other violence and cruelty-based industries. So we'll be seeing an end to all those industries immediately upon ratification.
Thank you. Well, that's great to hear.
Now, we chose that date, December 6th, for its symbolic value as the day to establish Abolition Day. Abolition Day is a national celebration that the Humane Party created in 2015, which was the 150th anniversary of the ratification of the 13th Amendment. So the 13th Amendment was ratified. It reached the number of states that needed to ratify it. It hit that number on December 6th of 1865. A couple of weeks later, on December 18th, it was officially proclaimed by Secretary of State Seward, I believe, at the time, to have been ratified. But the actual date was December 6th of it hitting the number it needed. So we chose that date as the date for Abolition Day, both to commemorate the success of the proto-abolition movement and of that huge milestone there with respect to human slavery, and then also as a way to look forward in promoting the Abolition Amendment and kind of finish that process that was begun, you know, that led to the 13th Amendment and is now leading to the Abolition Amendment.
So now let's get a better understanding of the details of the Abolition Amendment. So let's start with Section 1.
Okay, so Section 1 is the section that most clearly resembles the 13th Amendment. Neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for crime, whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. So that is the section that officially ended human slavery here in this country when the 13th Amendment actually was ratified and became part of the Constitution. Here's the Abolition Amendment, Section 1. Neither slavery nor involuntary servitude of any animal shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. So you see that we use that phrase, neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, that now dates over 200 years back in the American legal system. And by doing so, there's a couple of kind of strategic value points there for reusing that language. The first is that it makes the meaning and the intent very clear as to what we're doing. For instance, the interpretation of slavery and involuntary servitude being used with respect to people, with respect to human beings, rather, is the exact same intent and meaning that we are then extending beyond the species barrier so that we can apply that directly to other animals as well. So by reusing that language, we can pick up on exactly that same meaning. Secondly, we tap into all the jurisprudence, the interpretation that has gone into that phrase in these intervening decades and centuries. So by going that route, it gives the Abolition Amendment a lot more kind of strength and ties directly into the movement of which the 13th Amendment was a step, and the Abolition Amendment is now the next step. When we first started out drafting the Abolition Amendment, which was in 2009, it was created contemporaneously with the Humane Party itself. We went with a sort of laundry list approach of saying what you couldn't do, and that is still part of the Humane Party platform, for instance. It will actually give a list to a degree of the kinds of things that shouldn't be done. So, for instance, you know, Section 10 of the Humane Party platform says elimination of torture, mutilation, and slaughter of such beings, referring to other animals. But we realized that the laundry list approach is not nearly as good as tapping directly into that line of the proto-abolition movement and abolition movement. So that's kind of Section 1. Another thing that I would point out about Section 1, of course, is that in the both the passage that I read from the Northwest Ordinance and also in the 1865 13th Amendment, both of those make an exception regarding human slavery for people who've been convicted of a crime. So that exception is actually still in there, and people are starting to kind of rediscover it And it is relevant, that exception, because without that exception, there'd be a huge argument that for-profit prisons and the use of prison labor and so on, private prisons, that those are violative of the rule against slavery. But again, because of this exception in the 13th Amendment, that argument is not readily available. So you'll notice that in the Abolition Amendment, the one that has been just recently published now, that that exception for slavery and involuntary servitude as a form of punishment or as part of one's punishment is no longer there. So in other words, humans and human rights activists and people who oppose the for-profit prison system and so on have a separate or a related but a also distinct reason to support the Abolition Amendment, because it gets rid of that exception.
We're listening to Shel Harrison, the primary author and editor of the Abolition Amendment, which was published on December 6th, 2016. This is Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Miley Narrow, and now we'll take a short break. Welcome back from the break. Thank you very much for tuning into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Miley Narrow, in Worcester, Massachusetts. We're celebrating World Vegan Day. We're also joined by Shelley Harrison, law teacher and convener of the Humane Party. The Humane Party is the first and currently only vegan abolitionist party in the USA. A political party. Party platform includes the Abolition Amendment, which we talked a little bit about prior to the break. Now here's a continuation of it. This is from Shelley Harrison's interview in 2016 with me, and then we'll continue with our interview today. Listening to the music of Will Tuttle from his album Animal Songs. This is To Be Free. At the start of the show, we heard the Turkey Song. On December 25th, 2015, the first draft of the Abolition Amendment was published. And on December 6th, 2016, the final draft of the Abolition Amendment was published. Here's a replay of Shel Harrison, who joined us prior to the break.
Anyone can support the Abolition Amendment. The process of developing it was led by the Humane Party, which has led this process for several years. But anyone can support and should support the Abolition Amendment, and they can bring that to their own political party of choice if they're working with, say, the Green Party or the Libertarian Party or Democrat or Republican parties. We would encourage them to try to get those parties to change their platforms and commit to a final end to slavery, not just of humans, but also of other animals.
Primary author and editor of the Abolition Amendment is Shel Harrison. You tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena, Massachusetts. Thank you very much for tuning in. And here's a quote I would like to share. Quote, a human being is part of the whole, called by us universe, a part limited in time and space. He experiences himself, his thoughts and feeling, as something separated from the rest, a kind of optical delusion of his consciousness. This delusion is a kind of prison for us, restricting us to our personal desires and to affection for a few persons nearest to us. Our task must be to free ourselves from this prison by widening our circle of compassion, to embrace all living creatures and the whole of nature in its beauty. Albert Einstein. I'd like to say a special thanks to all the volunteers who drafted the Abolition Amendment, published on December 6, 2016. Here is the Abolition Amendment, read by Gretchen Ryan, a Los Angeles-based artist and vegan activist.
The Abolition Amendment, Section 1. Neither slavery nor involuntary servitude of any animal shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. Section 2. Congress shall, within 2 years of ratification hereof, establish a system whereby the writ of habeas corpus shall be available to ensure the rights of any animal or group of animals. Section 3. Congress shall, within 2 years of ratification hereof, establish a system whereby every animal or group of animals who does not have a guardian shall be provided a guardian ad litem when necessary to protect the rights of the animal or group. Neither biological, behavioral, nor situational differences between potential members of a group shall preclude or hinder their inclusion in a group. Neither birth, entry, departure, death, or other change of members of a group shall require reauthorization of the group's guardian or recertification of the group. Any natural person legally present in a U.S. jurisdiction and willing to serve diligently, competently, and faithfully as such guardian shall have standing to petition a court of competent jurisdiction that such guardian be assigned. The petitioner may, but need not be, the person ultimately selected by such court to serve as such guardian. Section 4. Congress may modify the definition of animal for the purposes of this article to accord with the advances in science, except that in no event shall this definition exclude any organism with an observable capacity to fear, grieve, or experience pain. An organism's possession of a central nervous system shall be sufficient, but not necessary, proof of such capacity. Section 5. Congress shall have the power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation.
That was the Abolition Amendment, a proposed amendment to the U.S. Constitution. Now let's continue our conversation in 2024 with Shelley Harrison.
Well, for one thing, veganism and abolitionism are often compared to a Swiss Army knife in that, you know, this one solution is so powerful and so, you know, all-encompassing that it essentially serves multiple functions. It's basically a broad platform in and of itself that addresses issues that don't seem to be related to animal rights at first blush, and that certainly is the case with veganism and abolitionism. The Humane Party requires that all board members, officers, and candidates signify through the oath, the Humane Party oath, that they are vegan personally and abolitionist politically. And by doing that, it lets everyone know that we're all on the same page with respect to that gigantically powerful Swiss Army knife policy that we talked about earlier, namely abolition. And it also lets us know that the people we're working with are willing and able to live by a certain ethical standard. So right off the bat, this gives us a kind of baseline of ethical understanding and integrity that helps us set up the kind of cultural conditions that you would want to pursue policies that are right. You know, what is the right thing to do? You want people who are looking at that question that you can trust and that already have this kind of baseline ethical standard. At the same time, the HP has no bent toward any particular ideological lens. The HP is not conservative, it's not liberal, it's not progressive, it's not socialist, it's not anything else from an ideological lens. Science and ethics are the lenses that the HP uses. And that baseline ethical standard that we require, which is just essentially, you know, veganism, you know, so a requirement that you not rape and kill animals, is so obvious and easy to meet that it's basically effortless. I mean, if a person can't even meet that incredibly easy standard, why in the world would you want them making policy? So that just gets us all on the same page.
Thank you, Shelley. And we're coming to a close in the interview for today. What additional messages do you have for our listeners?
I would encourage people to, just be involved as they can. I would like to make a call out to those who are supporters of the Green Party or the Libertarian Party, and just since you've already gotten onto that intellectual thread, just to recognize that the abolitionist and vegan policy position is addressing the number one problem that is an environmental problem. I'm not expressing that well, but that's what Green Party members tend to focus on, and so I would call their attention to abolitionism. Same with the Libertarian Party. Libertarians tend to focus on liberty and freedom, of course, and what better way can you serve the cause of liberty than that of freeing literally hundreds of millions of animals from slavery? That's the ultimate embody of a libertarian ideal. So inarticulate as I feel I may have been, I think that just calling attention to that issue, both for Green Party members and Libertarian Party members, would be a good thing.
We're listening to Shelley Harrison, who's joining us via Skype. Shelley Harrison is the convener of the Humane Party and also a law teacher. Thank you very much, Shelley, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you, Marlene. I'm so thrilled to get to talk to you. And again, I'm just so thrilled for your show and the many luminaries that you've had on it. It's just been a real pleasure and an education for me to get to hear what you've been doing through these years.
Thank you.
I am vegan, hear me roar, like an engine, like a chanting crowd, like solidarity with every animal born. I am vegan, hear me roar.
Much thanks to our listeners for tuning into Vegan Nation.
I am old and I am new. I'm a seed inside of you. I'm a habit that's been broken. I'm alive, aware, awake and open. As I walk a brave new track, I'm the future looking back. Find the heart within the heartless and the light to break the darkness. I am vegan, hear me roar. Like an engine, like chanting proud, like
please join us again next week at the same time. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. Thank goodness for free speech.
I am strong and I am sane. I am simple to explain. I'm a living contribution to the next step in our evolution.
Let's go out with Vegan Smythe in Australia. I am vegan. Hear me roar. This is Marlene in Massachusetts, wishing you all a beautiful, peaceful, lovely day.
To fight for liberation, I am vegan. Hear me roar. Like an engine, like a chanting crowd, like solidarity with every
everything comes around. This is Ellie Sarti. As we sow, we reap is the philosophy of deep veganism.
Deep in the